was Harlem at the Ruckers. Yeah. I saw you with your man, smiling, huh? A coach bag in your hand. I was laying in the coop with my hat turned back. We caught eyes for a moment, and that was that. So I skated off as you strolled off, looking at them legs. Goddamn, they look so soft. I gotta take you from your man, that's my mission. If his love has really got to handle competition. You only knew him 5 months.
That's right.
Besides, he drink too much and smoke too many blunts. And I be working out every day thinking about you. Looking at my own eyes in the rear view. Catching flashbacks of our eye contact. Wish I could lay you on your stomach and caress your back. I would hold you in my arms and ease your fears. I can't believe it, I ain't had a crush in years. Hey, love. I see you at the bus stop waiting every day. Your man must think it's safe for you to travel that way. And I don't wanna violate your relationship, so I lay back in the cut with a crush, that's a trip. Still, he can't stop me from having daydreams. Tonguing you down with vanilla ice cream. Kissing on your thighs under moonlight. Searching your body with my tongue, girl, all night. I wonder one day could it be. Simple dreams could turn into reality. Our love would come down so naturally. We would walk down the aisle of destiny. Put your man, get his hustle on, got your type scared. Break you off a little chump change to do your hair. That seems to be enough to satisfy your needs. But there's a deeper level if you follow our lead. Hey, love. I saw you at the mall, standing at the payphone, about to make a call. I had a vision, it was me on the other end, telling you come by, and then you walked in. I touched you gently with my hands. We talked about traveling to distant lands, escaping all the madness out here in the world, becoming my wife, no longer my girl. Then you let your dress fall down to the floor. I kissed you softly and you yearned for more. Experience pleasure unparalleled. Into an ocean of love we both fell. Swimming in the timeless currents of pure bliss. Fantasies interchanging with each kiss. Undying passion unites our souls. Together we swim until the point of no control. But it's a fantasy, it won't come true. We never even spoke and your man Sway love you. So I'ma keep all these feelings inside. Keep my dreams alive until the right time.
Good morning, good morning. It's Thursday, May 18th, and you're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on CITR 101.9, Vancouver's community radio station. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. It's So Can Week, so besides that LL Cool J, which I feel like LL Cool J is ridiculously underrated, because when people talk about good rappers, they don't understand how big LL Cool J was. He was like Drake before Drake. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. It's So Can Week, so like I said, we'll be playing some Canadian content so we can help people get paid. You know, we like to start off with the weather, and it's the next couple of days. the next couple of days really shows why we pay an exorbitant amount of rent and live in someone's basement closet just so that you can enjoy the weather here in Vancouver, because after tomorrow we'll get 6 sunny days in a row, all above 20 degrees. It's really nice for the May long weekend. So if you like to do anything, you can get out and do it any day. Saturday, I think, is going to be 20. And Sunday and Monday, I think, will be 24 degrees. So if it inclines you, sounds like Monday could be the first Wreck Beach day. Well, I know personally, I think it would be a good way to relax and ease my way into summertime. If you haven't listened to the show, or if you listened to the show and you forgot, I like to talk to you people about things that I care about. Hopefully, all three of you like it. I like to talk about a little bit about some local news, politics, some pop culture, some sports. Occasionally, I have some interesting guests lined up, some comedians, artists, industry leaders, and sometimes just some really, really smart people who like to call in. And occasionally, I'll just have my friends in here because it gets lonely here in the morning, and today is actually the first time I'm doing the show with the lights on. So it'll be interesting because normally I like to keep it like a little subdued and dark in here. It helps me cope with this silence. So this week, Vancouver has tons and tons of interesting news. And if you follow Off the Beaten Path on Facebook, you would have seen me talk about this. And if you haven't, you're going to have to wait till we come back from the break. You don't want to miss it.
For the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
With all that rainfall, my perennials are thriving. Let's take a look at what's popped up in the beds. My lovely Discordias are abloom.
Pluck a May Discorder and read about DIY Space Deep Blue, Ahmad Dani Ramadan, discussions on the accessibility of the Vancouver music scene by Eleanor Waring, as well as the programmers championing issues around accessibility for Accessibility Day on CITR. Thanks to our advertisers, Live Band, The Rickshaw Theatre, Timber Concerts, The Rio Theatre, The Wise Hall, Sled Island, Pemberton Music Festival, and the Underground Newsstand.
Ah, Discordia bouquets have the sweetest perfume.
Your head on my chest, let me see, are you fucking late? See, why you come back? Be on my name, yeah. Boy, you acting crazy. Are you fucking late? See, why you call me? Drag your body through the back alley. Pretty titties looking at me. Then my access bitch split out. So your fault how this played out. Come on, I'm still on the day. Why are you looking at me that way? Wait, what? Don't be free. Just stop, baby. I see foot on the floor. For those beautiful girls you adore. Take your body next to mine. Put your head on my head, on my chest. Let me kiss you and put you to bed. Said you loved me, but you why you call me babe? You don't know my name, yeah. Boy, you acting crazy. Are you fucking late? See why you call me babe? You don't know my name, yeah.
He back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. You're on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. And, you know, if you listen here a lot, you know exactly the types of things that go on in the news here in Vancouver. Number one, housing. Number two is the provincial election, mostly talking about pipelines. There was an article on Yahoo Finance that came out where this millionaire, I feel like being a millionaire is... While we understand the wage gap is forever increasing, we know that being a millionaire it doesn't have the same ring as it used to. Like when I felt that, well, maybe it's just because as I've gotten older and more hateful, you know, I look at millionaires with disdain. Like, you're just a millionaire. Like, you know, don't get ahead of yourself. But I feel like that's just how everybody sees it. Anyways, this millionaire who lives in Australia, which seems to be having the same housing issues as here in Vancouver and in Toronto and in places in the States. I'm not sure if this is a new phenomenon because I feel like, well, at least I know that before the mortgage crisis, it felt as if everyone could get a home, everyone who could afford it, even if you couldn't afford your home, that was the main problem, is that people were getting homes that were too expensive, but everybody had the option, like, where you could buy a house, like, it was feasible. But now, the one thing that seems to be driving my generation is that people can't afford to buy homes. I read a stat that said more than half of the millennial homeowners had parents pay for the down payment. And that the people who had their parents account for the down payment only account for 2% of the millennials, which would make sense because of the way we think of the top 1%. And, of course, the top 1% would be able to pay for their kids' down payments. So it would only make sense that around the same percentage, you know, probably own homes by the time that they are 30. So this individual says that in an interview on Esquire that millennials would be able to own their own homes as if they stopped eating avocado toast. And then a tweet storm went out, because that's what happens, is people get on Twitter and they make their jokes, but we have to understand, like, that's a ridiculous statement. Even though I understand what he's saying, it's just that the lifestyles, like, people aren't willing to eat ramen noodles for 15 years so that they can save the proper money to put a down payment on the house. And he's probably right that you don't want to eat ramen noodles for 15 years just so you can own a home. And I don't want to own a home that bad that I'll eat ramen noodles for the next 15 years. Like, I feel like as if one of the main reasons you get a house for is to live comfortably. And you want to get, like, the nicest house so that you can invite people back to your house. You know, maybe a special friend. And if you're eating ramen noodles for the next 15 years, so let's just say, I say right now, I'm going to start saving money, particularly by me eating food, and I choose to eat rice and beans for the next 15 years. I'm curious about what type of partner, you know, has that type of foresight, particularly in the individuals that I look for. I don't really see it. However, maybe. Moving on to the housing crisis here in Vancouver, because that's why you guys come here, for the local news. I know it. I was looking at the front page of the CBC website the other day, because that's where I like to gather my news from, a multitude of sources for the show. So I was looking at the CBC, and so on the front cover of the page, five stories about a bike lane. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't read any of the stories about bike lanes because I don't give a damn about bike lanes and where they go and if we have them on West 10th, on the west side or not, particularly because I feel bikes have been in existence for centuries. Well, I don't actually know. Maybe one century. Maybe two centuries max. Two centuries max. And bike lanes are relatively new. I feel like we used to get by without them for a while. So I don't think that it's like such a big deal. Not a big enough deal to put it on the front page of the paper. But that's how you know that it is a slow news cycle here in Vancouver. But what I've realized is that they buried some of the stories. So there's a tent party. Okay, we're going to skip that. Andrew Weaver of the NDP, of the Green Party. He's really got the potential to be able to decide which party has the majority here in the parliament election since last week. And the Green Party gathering there. It's really unprecedented. Three votes. What it means is that he has like ultimate negotiating power. So every time you walk into a meeting, either with the current premier, Christy Clark, or the leader of the NDP, he really has the ability to negotiate on all the points that he wants. And he's utilizing this at least until they do the recount to see if there are any changes, particularly to see if the BC Liberal Party is going to get one more vote out of out of Courtney. But the things that he's looking for, like, I'm not one of those people who believes that everybody, that you want to hear everybody's political opinion and you want people. I don't actually want it to be like a true democracy. Like, we saw what happened in the States with the democracy, and we got Donald Trump, and we'll get into a little bit later how we might not have him very long. But I'm not going to lie. Like, I only want people to speak up when they're speaking things that I like or with causes that I agree with. Like the Green Party, he supports getting money out of politics, and that's something that they seem not, they're not going to budge on. So whichever party that the Green Party aligns himself with is going to have to be okay with that. And when you know the history of the NDP and the BC Liberal Party, it's pretty safe to say that neither party wants to give up that opportunity to collect large donors. He also believes that the pipeline is unethical and puts the BC coastline at a greater risk than is necessary for a commodity that doesn't actually exist here in Vancouver yet. There is no, we're creating issues where there isn't any. And so those are the two issues that he campaigned on, and I am totally here for both of those. So I'm happy that he's speaking up, but had the Green Party or maybe this third or an alternative party, you know, have been like the alt right in the United States, I would 100% not be for them supporting, you know, championing their causes, because I feel like that's the part of democracy that we like, is the one where our team wins. Now, fun fact about Kamloops. It's where Kelly Olynyk is from. Now, I didn't know that Kelly Olynyk was Canadian, and I would have not guessed that he was from British Columbia because of the way he plays. I would have guessed he's from Saskatchewan or Manitoba, you know, like a more, in my mind, like a more ruffian type of place. But it was interesting to read an article on Kelly Olynyk and his family, how his family actually thinks that they have a chance to win against the Cavs, which was the most laughable thing that I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, I don't even know what position Kelly Olynyk plays. I think he plays the four or power forward. But no chance in hell he's got to stop on LeBron James. We saw that last night, that LeBron simply was not having it. And showed, we saw why we should never question LeBron James last night when he scored 38 points we look at the final score of the game, and you look at the box score, and you look at quarter by quarter, you just know that this was never a game. However, Kelly Olynyk's parents said that they feel that their son has a chance to win the game. I feel like my mom is a little more of a realist. Like, if I was playing on the Celtics, my mom would be like, listen, they have LeBron James. We're just happy that our son is having a good time. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about Vancouver's census data. And we'll be waiting for a calling guest to talk about how Donald Trump may not be the president for long, and is his replacement much better? Stay with us.
We asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because, of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
What's up, UBC? Looking to try something new and exciting this year? Then check out UBC Sailing Club. Our club offers lessons and year-round exclusive access to our fleet of monohull and high-performance sailboats, kayaks, windsurfers, and paddleboards. Whatever floats your boat, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit our website at www.ubcsailing.org for more info.
A wise man once said, UBC Ski and Board is the black sheep of the AMS.
9 out of 10 dentists agree that joining UBC Ski and Board will make you more friends than your mom ever had.
As the largest club at UBC, our membership offers you legendary parties, outrageously cheap ski trips, and sweet deals on local bars, restaurants, and gear shops.
Don't worry if you're new to skiing. There's a place for you in the UBC Ski and Board Club.
Swing by our office on the third floor of the Nest and check us out on Facebook.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
That's funny, though. Why? Because that's where I found my wife. Man, I hate the bus. I'd rather just ride my bike. Heard that ass on my handlebars, and everything's all right. Nah. I done rode on the back of the bus, like, all my life. All my life. But it's funny, though. Why? Because that's where I found my wife. Found my wife. Man, I hate the bus. Good damn. I'd rather just ride my bike. Ride my bike. Park that ass on my handlebars, and what? Everything's all right. Nah.
You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike. You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike. You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a
bounce.
You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike.
Lower.
Go ride a bike.
Lower.
Go ride a bike. You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike.
Skate high Vans in a thick scrunch socks. Ice cream man, let me get a double scoop too. Then I slide off and my lowrider drop. Jordan said he got a new scraper.
New scraper.
Black on black, Lord Vader. Cause I came with Chewbacca in a trunk. Open that up and let the beast just knock. Then I proceeded on the block. Wondering when the heat is gonna drop. And I ain't even talking about the sun. I'm talking about the cops with the guns. Looking like they never have fun. Never have I ever will I follow someone. Lead my parade to the beat of my drum. The deeper I go, you the deeper I come. Went so deep that I touch your soul. Back in the day, it was ink and a scroll. That was LCDs, double click and a scroll. Back in the day, you would pick your nose. Now it's pick presidents who run these polls. I swear on an oath that I won't stop. Now sit yourself right on top. Bounce. Booty round, looking like two gunshots. Good call.
So, you can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike. You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a
bounce.
You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride
just a
bike.
Little lower.
Go ride a
little
bike.
Lower.
Go ride a
bike.
So you can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike. But you can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a
bounce. He back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. If you'd like to follow the show on Mixcloud, you can do that at mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath or facebook.com/offthebeatenpath. The episodes are posted there, and if you have missed any, you are free to listen to the podcast in any order. So please check that out. If you have any music that you'd like to send in and you want to get it played in the morning, you can send that to offthebeatenpath@gmail.com. So, this administration, we have seen some crazy things, but it's not just the administration in the United States that seems to be going pretty wild. It's really the entire country. There's an article, if you follow the Facebook page, you can check it out, where in Austin, Texas, it discusses the potential ban on gays, Jews, Muslims of adopting kids. So there was a, I'm just going to, so parents seeking to adopt children in Texas could be rejected by state-funded or private agencies with religious objections to them being Jewish, Muslim, gay, single, or interfaith couples under the proposal in the Republican-controlled legislature. So any state-funded or private agency who is basically an orphanage run by a church could choose to deny potential adopters based on their religion or their lack of religion. And it's for me, it's just crazy that we get into a place, well, that we've been in a place that would rather see kids grow up in a foster system or in orphanages that we know do not work than have their kids adopted by a potentially loving parent or parents. Like, stop and think to yourself. I'm sure that there are cases, but not even on TV, in characters that are fictional, do we hear about an individual who went unadopted their whole life, grew up in the foster care system, aged out of the foster care system, and then was a, what we would say, a very productive adult. I am sure that if there was, I'm sure that there are people like that who do exist. I have never met one. And I don't think that that has to do with anything with the individuals or their failings. I think that has to do with the system that is the orphanages and foster care system that lets people down. Because it's hard enough to be raised when people care about you. But imagine, like, raising yourself. And, I mean, well, you have a foster family, but, like, they don't care about you that much. I mean, if they did, they probably would have adopted you. Oh, I mean, this is not talking about you in an individual, but like in life, like, so to go with that feeling and you are just moving in the world, if there's potential people who would like to adopt, why would we shut them down? Because everybody deserves to grow up in a loving home. And I feel that when we create these types of environments where people can't, or people are stopped from, you're just doing harm to the kids, where people, where you'd rather harm a kid than give up your religious, it's not even giving up your own religious identity or, you know, some religious law that you're believing in. It's just that you just want to be hateful and you don't want this kid to prosper. So things like this, which I feel like show that are stopping our country from moving forward. And if you have been watching in the news, you know that our country might be moving forward to a place where Donald Trump may no longer be the president. A article on the Washington Post today came out, and it said that, well, it was basically an article about how there was a meeting in 2016 where House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Paul Ryan met with the delegate from Ukraine and talking about how they think that, well, the meeting was about how Russia had taken a stance in some European elections and manipulated them. And we saw, it was during the time where the DNC had just got hacked. So they felt that this could be a potential hack by Russians here in order to manipulate this election. And when Kevin McCarthy made a joke about Donald Trump being on the payroll with Paul Ryan there, they agreed to keep that off of the record. And when approached about it, they said that it never happened. Like, that conversation never happened, even though the Washington Post had transcripts of the conversation. And then, so after they said it never happened, then they tried to explain it away as a joke. And I don't know why people always want to go there first. I feel like it's the natural reaction to when you get caught saying something silly that you always go to, it was a joke. you see that a lot, particularly when somebody says something extremely racist or sexist or homophobic, that they automatically go to a joke. But this is pretty serious as well, because this is talking about the president of the United States, a president which Paul Ryan seems to not be able to stand up to. And that's a problem when you are one of the highest Republicans in the Congress. And you feel that this is just something that you should be able to do, is stand up to people in your own party. But we see that people are choosing their party affiliations over the country. There is one congressman who is not, and I'm going to play for you his words. Al Green. He's not the Al Green that you're thinking of, but the Al Green that we need. And here he is.
American people are a part of this democracy. This is a participatory democracy. The American people don't participate on election day only. The American people participate daily, and this is your day to act. This is your day. I'm speaking to the American people. It is time for you to act. It is time for you to let us know where you stand. I've seen a poll that indicates that a majority now of those who are being polled are for impeachment. And I've seen another poll that says a plurality of those. Whether it's a majority or a plurality, let's let the American people weigh in. The American people should speak up, speak out, stand up, so that we will get a sense of what the American people want. This is not something to be taken lightly, and I do not. I think that this is one of the highest callings that a member of Congress has to address. I believe that this is where your patriotism is shown, where you demonstrate to the American people where you really stand. So I take this stand. It's a position of conscience for me. And I have not talked to another person in Congress about this. Each member of Congress has to make his or her own decision. So this is not about my encouraging other people to do things other than the American people. This is about my position. This is about what I believe. And this is where I stand. I will not be moved. The president must be impeached.
Now, those are powerful words from Al Green, the Democratic representative in Texas. However, I was always raised to believe that we live in a representative democracy. And while I think that it is great that Al Green says that he believes that they should be impeached, I think that he should be representing his constituents. And if I don't know what the people of his district say, they might be saying to impeach Donald Trump. But I feel that when you speak, when you hear a politician speak, they need to be speaking with the voice of the people and not in the eye. However, since I agree with him, I'm okay with it. Just like I said before, listen, I am only okay when people do things that I agree with, particularly in politics, because why would you be rooting to lose? Like, that doesn't make any sense to root against yourself. What we know that, if you don't know what impeachment is, it's when the vice president shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So Donald Trump has been accused of basically getting in the way of the investigation by firing James Comey in the middle of a Russian investigation. Not only is Donald Trump in hot water for this, but there was a movement to include Jeff Sessions in this, because Jeff Sessions is the individual who recused himself from the investigation because of his affiliation with Donald Trump and his on the campaign, and just the way that he wouldn't be able to stay biased on the investigation. And what we have seen is that since James Comey's firing, we learn that Jeff Sessions is the individual who suggested to Donald Trump that he fired him. So that's kind of a breach because he got in the way of this investigation when he had already recused himself. Back to Donald Trump and how this could affect his presidency. So what we're going to get is we're going to get a special prosecutor on, a special investigator on the case now. An individual who has a record of high integrity and a record of not bending to the president. However, we've seen individuals who we thought wouldn't bend to President Trump before. Just getting impeached is pretty hard, though. So what you have to do to, what you have to do to get impeached is it has to go through the Congress, and there's a majority vote. So there's like 435 members of the House of Representatives. And so 218 of them have to vote in, have to vote against you to, for you to go to, basically to go to court, which is the Senate, and where 2/3 of the senators have to, you have to go to 2/3 of the senators have to vote against you for you to be impeached. In a Republican controlled, that's never happened before in the United States history. It only happened twice that they've gotten through, Congress, I mean, the House of Representatives, and that was with Bill Clinton and with Andrew Jackson, I believe. Let me make check that so I can, let me Google that to make sure. Because while my U.S. history is pretty good, it's not the greatest. However, I do know that it's never happened where an individual was voted by both the House of Representatives and the Senate. And that takes a lot. So will we see Donald Trump get impeached? Like, I am still one of those people who really believes that Donald Trump will last 4 years, even though it's really getting hard to continue to make that statement when you see that everything, when you see everything that's going on. The question then remains, do we want Donald Trump to be impeached, knowing who we have that's coming up after him? The only thing that I can say is that it will probably, it would be a more stable White House with Mike Pence. However, is more stable what we want when we've seen how Indiana, like, I've never met anybody. I've met a few people from Indiana who are cool. I'm not going to lie. However, Indiana has never been a place where I said I wanted to go, or I thought that it was suitable to raise a family, or it's just not a thing. Like, I think that it's just not like a place I envy. So it's not some place where I don't really want my president from Indiana. Not being discriminatory, Indiana just doesn't seem like type of place. And Mike Pence doesn't seem like the type of leader I would like to follow. Just knowing his track record, it doesn't, it's not one of those, it's just not very good. He has shut down Planned Parenthood, and which caused a epidemic in his own state. And if you want to look at that, you can check it out. So we'll have to see how this moves going forward. Particularly, I'm sure we'll be talking about this for the next few weeks here on Off the Beaten Path. These stories about Donald Trump just continue to linger. And it's an interesting cover because, you know, as me, a conspiracy theorist, I'm concerned with what are they trying to sneak past us while they have us all distracted. They used to have to put celebrities on the front page all the time so that you could read celebrity newspapers and learn about the Kardashians. However, we have a celebrity who's in the highest office and who just has constant drama around him. And while we might think that Donald Trump is the most diabolical person in the government, we know that there were diabolical people in the government for many, many, many years. It is actually the 40th. Well, on the History Channel, they have a documentary talking about the Tuskegee experiments. And if you don't know what the Tuskegee experiments, it was an experiment done in Alabama where for 40 years doctors shot, or doctors on purpose gave black men syphilis and didn't tell them, just so that they could see what would happen as they lived their lives. Now, that if that isn't some evil shit, like the most evil shit you've ever heard, you probably should read more up about it, because we know that these types of things happen all the time, and this is just the one time we know about. And Donald Trump wasn't the president back then, so we know that these types of things can continue to happen, whether he is or not in the presidency. So it's, you got to keep all of your eyes open, just because they continue to pump this information to you. You must make sure that you are paying attention. When we get back, we'll be talking about some things that will make you go, and also about some things that will make you think about Amber Rose.
Don't take it personally. I'm surprised you call me after the things I said. Skirt, skirt, all niggas, skirt up, all niggas, skirt down. You acting like me, acting like we wasn't more than a summer fling. I said farewell, you took it well. Promise I won't cry over spilled milk.
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. If you'd like to listen to the podcast, you can find them at mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. Now, I don't know about you, but I always knew this to be true, that Girl Scout cookies were better than drugs. A scout leader in Kentucky. This would only happen in Kentucky or Texas. A scout leader was accused of stealing $26,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And Leah Ann Vick, 26, the troop leader for the Wilderness Road chapter in Kentucky, signed off on more than 6,000 boxes of cookies, going so far as to fabricate the number of scouts she was responsible for. She lied and said she had multiple troops so that she could collect on an exorbitant amount of Girl Scout cookies, $26,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And she sold $26,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies since February. That's 3 months. In 3 months, this woman made $26,000 off Girl Scout cookies. It doesn't even sound like she was she had little girls slaying. She was just out here slaying Thin Mints by herself. Now, that's how you know Girl Scout cookies are legitimately a crack substitute. Because have you ever tried to open up a sleeve of Thin Mints, eat a few, and then put it back? It's impossible. You got to eat the whole thing. You got to eat the whole sleeve once you open it up. And I don't know about the margins on Girl Scout cookies, but the top line revenue of $26,000 from one sales individual in 3 months, when being a troop leader isn't your full time job. So like you're on the side slanging Girl Scout cookies out of the back of your truck. Better than you probably could sell drugs, any drug, except for maybe meth in Kentucky. I feel like weed doesn't sell that $26,000 in Kentucky, but meth might. So the next time you're thinking about buying Girl Scout cookies, make sure you buy them from a little girl, because these troop leaders are out here hustling hard and heavy on these Girl Scout cookies. A article on Complex shows that Wisconsin player, the individual who held up a sign talking about how players should get paid, he's a basketball player from Wisconsin. He just graduated, and he's a pretty outspoken individual when it comes to how NCAA players are treated and how they should be compensated for their time. And he, just yesterday on his Twitter, he showed an email that he got from an individual, a fan. I'll read it. "Hello, Nigel. Hope you had a great graduation day today over in Madison. It only happened because you did what many athletes don't do when they are so fixated on the NFL, NBA, or pro hockey. You stayed in college here at UW-Madison. Showed a good example of yourself of being focused on school and you adopted Madison community and the youngsters who look up to you. So congrats, Nigel. But now one thing. What the heck odd hairdo are you having on the top of your head? You mentioned to television sports reporters that you worry that younger student athletes will be better than yourself and get a chance to advance to their profession. Sure, true. But who wants a handsome, nice guy like you with such a bizarre hairdo as what you got?" Now, Nigel posted that so he could talk about how individuals love to police black hair. We see it is in a news story this week about how a 16-year-old girl in, I believe it was Connecticut, was sent home because her hair was a distraction to her teacher, I'm guessing. And we see it all the time, particularly around prom season at these boarding schools where black hair is banned, or in the beginning of school year where braids and beads are banned. So Nigel was just really expressing really a sentiment that has been going on for a long time. One of Nigel's teammates, Zach Showalter, he showed an email from the same individual. It says, "Hey, Zach, they showed a quick video clip of you on the local Madison TV sports news. I like that fresh, short haircut. My brother, who is returning to Madison in 2 weeks, should see your fade haircut. Can you hear me a couple of photos of your new fade haircut? Just get a side and a back view close-up of a haircut for him to see, and then take to his barbers in Green Bay to do on him later this month. Thanks. Like the cut. Just how short is it, Zach? Clipper blade length?" Like, I understand Nigel frustration, because as an individual who likes to keep locks, you know, my hair, for me, it's a big deal. But I don't know why it's a big deal to other people. Yeah, I don't know why an individual would send an email. Like, what type of weirdos are out here on the internet just looking at people's haircuts and being like, ooh, man, that guy, ooh, his haircut is so nice. I'm going to email him about it. You know, or like, you know, like, his hair is not, like, unless you are going to be laying horizontal with an individual, which even then I'd say their hair is probably none of your damn business, and you should keep it to yourself. And if you don't like it, then you probably shouldn't be laying with that individual in the first place. But, like, that's the only time I think that it would be maybe permissible to care about someone's hair that much. But what we've seen, what this is just showing me, is that the people in Wisconsin are weird. And I am judging everyone who's from Wisconsin from this one individual. Because sometimes I like to make sweeping generalizations about states that I will presumably never go to. This week, some scary news for Amber Rose. While her son, her bodyguards and assistants were all sleeping, a man broke into her house and stayed for a few hours. What happened was, when they woke up, they realized that one of the windows was broken, so they checked the security footage, and when they looked at the security footage, they saw that an individual had broken in, a man, and was just creeping around the house for a few hours while her assistant got up and made some food and presumably went back to sleep. He was just chilling in the house, walking around. I have two observations to this. It's one, Amber Rose's house must be freaking huge. And two, terrible bodyguards do you have, Amber Rose, that one, they don't sleep in shifts, because it says bodyguards here, but I'm going to have to guess that she only has one bodyguard. And I feel that, like, one bodyguard isn't balling. Like, one bodyguard is like a boyfriend. I feel that if, you know, my girlfriend would call me, like, her bodyguard, because technically, I'm going to guard her body from any harm. So if you have one bodyguard, a boyfriend, and you have multiple bodyguards, let's say you have an additional bodyguard, so you got two bodyguards, they don't sleep in shifts. Like, I hire a bodyguard specifically so people can't sneak into my house in the middle of the night, walk around my house, and just be sleuthing around. You might as well fire your bodyguard, or just tell him to go home and go to sleep in his own house. Because clearly you're not doing any work. You, like, wake up and, you know, be here at 5 a.m., but it's midnight, time for you to leave. It just seems kind of odd to me that there was no, like, your bodyguards wasn't doing his job. I'm happy that everyone in this situation is okay. Except for that bodyguard should be looking for a new job. Got one more story that I don't want to get into. If you want to look more into it, it is posted in the Facebook page. Just that an ex-cop who refused to shoot a kid sues the city over his firing. So a former West Virginia police officer was fired after he refused to shoot a young black man. So we get on, particularly on this show or on Crimes and Treasons, we talk a lot about police brutality and the killing of unarmed black men. Well, this individual, R.J. Williams, was armed with a gun, and it seemed to be the first police officer on the scene, Stephen Mader. When he arrived to the scene, he began talking to the individual whose name is RJ and talking to him about it was clear that RJ was in distress and wanted the police officers to kill him. It seemed that he wanted to commit suicide by police. And Stephen was doing the right thing as a police officer and talking him down and talking to him and presumably going to get him to put his gun down. Because that's what police officers should do. They should talk people out of situations. Like, everybody goes through something into different levels. And so this RJ just thought he couldn't handle it anymore. And as he talks him down, backup, other police officers arrive on the scene and within seconds shoot RJ. And then Stephen was fired by the police department. I would think that that's wrong for all sorts of reasons. Unfortunately, we do not have time to go into them. But if you like listening to, if you like talking about those type of stories, we talk about those on Crimes and Treasons, which airs on Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 here on CITR.ca and on 101.9 FM. Thank you for being with us for the hour, letting me take you down my path and how my brain thinks. Until next week, you all have a nice and lovely weekend. I hope the weather is nice from wherever you're listening to. I know here in Vancouver, I will be sailing and it will feel really, really good.